The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Thank you once again for joining us. Sister Bridget Ansala Marie is joining us today. She's with the Sisters of Life. Sister, certainly thank you for the time and sharing your vocation story, your message, and of course the work of the Sisters of Life with our listeners. Thank you.
It's so great to be here, Paul. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes. Sister, you were born in Lyndhurst, I believe.
Yep. I was born raised most of my life in Lyndhurst.
Tell me about growing up. Where did you go to school?
Yeah, I went to the South Euclid Lyndhurst Public Schools, and I'm a proud graduate of Brush High School, but was raised right in almost in the backyard of St. Clair Church. God seemed always close to me.
Mm-hmm. St. Clair is the patron saint of television, and I worked for many years in television here in Cleveland.
Oh, right.
And I know that there's a speed trap out in front of St. Clair, too. That's a little local history. but I didn't learn that the hard way, so that was okay. Tell me about growing up. Your parents, did you pray the rosary at home or mostly just weekend masses? What was growing up like as far as religion goes and learning about Christ?
Our family was kind of your typical Catholic family, I guess, Sunday Mass. We always went to CCD, or I guess PSR is what it's called. It was called then.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that faith was important to my parents. They always, Sunday Mass was, you did not miss Sunday Mass. And so that was instilled in me in, a very early age. But kind of between Sundays, we lived just a normal life. So we didn't really have many devotions at home. We would do a little bit, to mark the different seasons, Advent and Lent. But yeah, just had a sense that the Lord was important to my parents.
So that seed was planted early, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And some stuff I read about you, you said really as you started to get a little bit older, you started thinking about things and maybe not being underneath the parents' wings anymore, kind of came to some deep thinking on your own, maybe in high school. Tell me about that.
Yeah, as I grew up and I started to kind of, really after my confirmation, so I was confirmed in 10th grade, and there was just a stirring in my heart after that, that I didn't actually even notice so much as my mom was able to point out to me later. I was like, as soon as you were confirmed, something happened. And I'm like, well, that's good because it's supposed to.
Yeah, yes.
But just a longing to know the Lord more and to understand my faith, as I kind of was given that gift of just like, yeah, I do believe.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really understand what that meant, or I think it's just a deeper longing for who is this person that my heart feels drawn to? Who is this Jesus Christ? That yearning kind of never left my heart. And so I began to seek out in the church itself, in St. Clair, and then also just through my own study and even exploring questions, those questions of the heart with your friends, and really kind of allowing my heart to grapple with who is God and who am I?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where's my role in this?
I read that you asked a question or in a prayer one time, kind of at the back of church, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief.
My unbelief, right. That was kind of a turning point for me. It was one of the first moments of like my own, making my prayer my own, and knowing that like there's so much that I want to know and understand, but I can't do it on my own. And that's okay, you know, like I don't need to run ahead of myself, but Jesus, walk me through this. All these places, all these questions in my heart, I want you, Lord, to answer. So I threw it up there.
Yeah.
Just kind of threw it up to him in the back of the church one day.
Do you find that there's a turning point when you stop saying prayers and begin to pray?
I think when I encountered the presence of the Lord, when I knew him in the Eucharist, when I experienced in the silence that there was somebody there, then you kind of begin talking to him
mm-hmm.
instead of to myself, or, you know, just the rote prayers that you've learned, you know, growing up. When there's somebody there to talk to, when you know that you're talking to someone, the whole dynamic changes.
Mm-hmm. Is it kind of like a rock going downhill? It picks up speed and becomes easier and easier and more rewarding?
At first it does.
Okay.
And then it's the ardor of any relationship, right? Takes place. And you want to understand him more. You want him to understand you more, even though he does perfectly. But I think at first there's a great lightness and consolation in prayer, you know, as you're pursuing mm-hmm. the Lord. But then he allows us to seek him more deeply in the deepest desires of our heart and our love. And so there comes a time where it actually then becomes a little bit more arduous. And that's when we need good people to lean on and guide us and show us the way.
Now, you originally had thought about medical school.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. I really had thought that the Lord was calling me to medicine. I guess I had mentioned I had a sister. My sister was born when I was 7, and she had many many special needs, and she was very medically fragile at the beginning, and so I was kind of immersed in that world very early, and watching the doctors help her, and I loved it. I loved everything about the majesty and the glory with which the Lord had made, like, and the intricacies of the human body, and so I really thought the Lord was calling me to that, and especially in as maybe an OBGYN mm-hmm. to serve women. Yeah, but as I walked further in my path, I had really thrown it up to the Lord again. Just one of those another one of those
mm-hmm.
throwing it up before him. Lord, you know, I think you're calling me to be a doctor, but you know, if you don't want me to be, please don't let it happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know how it worked out. I think he hit a home run with the ball you threw up there, sister. Sister, can you stay with us? We'll be right back after a message right here on God Calling, AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Sister Bridget is joining us of the Sisters of Life, sister from Lyndhurst, Ohio. Sister, you've shared your story about thinking maybe medical, maybe a doctor, or religious life. The Lord answered you. Tell me how that came about.
He captured my heart.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good lover, and he never forces us. And so he allowed me after college to take the space and really pursue undividedly my dream to be a doctor. So I went on to work on my master's degree, and I also had gotten a job in an emergency room, and I was like pretty well immersed studying for the MCAT and trying to apply with the plan to apply to schools. And in the midst of that first year of grad school, I was loving everything that I was doing. I loved the MCAT classes. I loved my public health classes. I loved being in the emergency room. And yet there was something kind of beckoning my heart. And at the time where I lived, the church was like catty corner, so I could almost see it out of my window.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd be studying, but I'd feel this yearning from him
mm-hmm.
or for him. And in that time, I began to ask the question a little bit more directly, like, Lord, are you calling me to religious life? I didn't know that there would be, I wasn't sure I'd ever get a clear answer, but he was so good. I had taken the MCAT, and I had been praying kind of through the months before it, at the inspiration of a priest, kind of praying like, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word." Like, unite my desires with yours, Lord. Show them to me. Show me where you have prepared my heart to love. I had taken the MCAT and I'd gotten my scores back, and they looked promising, and mm-hmm. I was pretty confident I could, you know, be accepted somewhere. And in the same week, I went to the ordination, and at that time I was in the Arlington Diocese in D.C. And I went to the ordination, and as the priests lay prostrate, just kind of giving all of themselves over to the Lord, I just had an experience of His love and of His calling to my heart, that, like, this is the family that I'm calling you to. This is the family I want you to be part of. The only words that I can, like, use to describe it is, as I left, I knew my heart was spoken for, mm-hmm. and that He was calling me to Himself. And yet that left me in, like, okay, I have these MCAT scores, and I have what I think is His calling from you, Lord. And what He explained and what He showed me was, like, you actually can choose. You can choose, you know, like, mm-hmm. This is my desire for you. This is my plan for your life. But I will bless, if you decide to go to med school, like, you will be happy. I will bless that, you know. But this is my plan for you. It really allowed me to choose and choose, you know, how can you say no to that sort of proposal? But
right. And so things clearly came sharply into focus for you.
They did. Mm-hmm.
Now, what year was that, sister?
That was in 2005.
Okay. How did you decide on the Sisters of Life?
Well, so after that began the seeking of, you know, well, okay, you're calling me, Lord, but where?
Yeah, that's another, and, that's a tough one too.
Yeah, that's part two. But again, was probably a little bit easier. I had, I looked at a few different communities. I knew that I really wanted to wear the Holy Habit, and I was seeking for a community that was rooted in the Eucharist. And then just with my kind of already kind of the trajectory of my life, you know, wanting to be an OBGYN, wanting to serve women. I went and visited the Sisters of Life, and just kind of gradually kind of like the door of my heart opened, you know, and mm-hmm. I was like, I could see it. It could be here, you know? And then as the months went on, I knew more, you know, his call. And I guess the opposite experience I would have at other places, I'd be like, this is so beautiful, you know, other communities I'd visit, like, this is so beautiful, but I don't feel called here.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to kind of juxtapose those two experiences.
Tell me about the charism of the Sisters of Life. I know a little bit about how they started. It had something to do with a newspaper ad, didn't it? One of the bishops or cardinal?
Yeah, Cardinal O'Connor in 1989 had put out in the Catholic New York, which his column actually got picked up all over across the nation, Help Wanted, Sisters of Life, which was the result of many years of prayer for him.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of the more recent grace for him in that was that as he was walking down, or as he was praying with Mark 9, and Jesus had come down the mountain and encountered his apostles speaking to the father of the boy possessed with a demon, his apostles couldn't drive out that demon, and Jesus did. And later they asked him, why could we not do that? And Christ's answer was, this demon can only be driven out through fasting and prayer. And as he was praying with that, he realized that everything that all were doing in the pro-life movement, it was all, they were doing good things, and they were like really devoting their lives and giving themselves, but there was like a movement that wasn't happening. And he just knew in his heart, he's like, this can only be driven out through fasting and prayer.
Sister, stay right where you are. We're going to come back with more on God Calling. Sister Bridget is joining us. Stay tuned. Thanks for staying with us on God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski with Sister Bridget today. Sisters of Life is her order. Sister, the growth over 100 sisters in the United States and Canada from what I've read. And the mission, of course, is pro-life.
Mm-hmm. It's to enhance and build up the sanctity of human life. And so we definitely, you know, focus on the woman, the mother, her unborn baby, but also every life. And we're living in a culture right now where so many don't know their goodness and their dignity and how precious they are in being chosen. And so the charism touches in it the heart of every person that we come in touch with.
This dovetails beautifully into the story of your sister, Rachel, born with very, mm-hmm. very severe birth defects, which spina bifida, blindness, retardation, and other things. Yet this human life of somebody that's very difficult to communicate with and was given so few gifts enriched your life.
Yeah, she is probably the single greatest gift of my life. And really through her and then through the witness of my parents, in loving her. She was born when I was 7, and from that moment on, you know, my parents were like, we will care for her, we will love her. And I think what I kind of was surprised at, or as I grew up, was like, oh my gosh, it's not our love for her, but it's her love for us that is so, so really transcendent in my mm-hmm. life and drew me to the Lord. Her abilities, the things that she couldn't do, really made me ponder, you know, those questions of life and who am I and what is my, you know, she can't do, there's so many things she can't do and there's so many things that I can and I'm kind of leaning into those things that I can.
Mm-hmm.
But what is her life? If my life is important because of the things that I can do, then what is her life? And so that was kind of my teenage question to the Lord. And he really gave me a great grace in answering that one day. And he said, she is worthy, she is valuable, she is good because I want her to be. And she exists. And it was really broke open in my heart, like, you know, and the same is true for me. And every person, every human being, like, it's not ever in anything that we can do, but in that we are, and that he has chosen to create us, and that we're being sustained in his love and will at every moment. Like, at every moment, we are chosen by him.
You know, you kind of wrote that she can do so few things that the world values, yet she's of immeasurable value to you, almost like the Lord sent you an angel.
Well, she is definitely a reflection of his love in my life, and really kind of points me higher, you know, points me to the eternal. And so many people in our life that she has touched just by her being, her goodness, her personality is so rich and beautiful, but you have to sit with her and be with her to experience that, you know? And so I think she always draws the other person deeper into themselves too.
Mm-hmm. You described it in something I read as pure love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's almost as if she doesn't have the capability of resentment or, you know, anger, or I mean, she might inside, but she doesn't show that. But she's ever faithful and ever ready to kind of receive you and love you when you come to her.
Mm-hmm. You have three brothers as well.
I do.
Any other vocations or?
Well, one of them is happily married.
Well, that's a vocation for sure.
Yeah, exactly. His eighth child on the way. And the other two are still looking.
Okay. What was the reaction in the family when you began considering and talking, you said, with your parents about a vocation? Supportive or just kind of really or surprised? How would you describe it?
I would say surprised. Mainly because although, you know, there were sisters in Cleveland at the time and my parents were taught by sisters as they were growing up, you know, they really didn't, the presence has decreased. And so they were like, do people still do that?
Mm-hmm.
Is that even a possibility? So I think not so much at my vocation per se, but just at like, I didn't even know this was a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise. But then supportive, you know, they were like, well, if this is okay, you know,
yeah.
Yeah, like they were behind me, but they were also like, I'm going to learn about this as you do.
Sister, you've shared a beautiful story with us. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And a lot of folks here in Lyndhurst and Greater Cleveland, after hearing this, I'm sure praying for you. If they want to know more, the Sisters of Life have a website, and they can read more about you and the mission of the Sisters. Sister, thank you.
All right. Sistersoflife.org.
Beautiful. Thank you, Sister.
All
God
right.
bless.
Thank you, Paul. God bless you.
This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Thanks for joining us, and join us each and every week at the same time right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program, or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.